Decide today whom you will serve. That's the stark statement that Joshua, who's the patriarch after Moses, offers in our first reading to the 12 tribes of Israel after he gathers them together for a speech at the end of his life. And the choice is between two options. They can follow the God of Israel or the pagan gods of the Amorites, where they're currently dwelling. Joshua and his family make their choice to serve the Lord. Then the people of Israel also respond in the affirmative, and they beautifully summarize what the God of Israel has done for them. He brought them out of slavery from Egypt, performed miracles before their eyes, and protected them along their journey in the desert. It's also the same choice that Jesus offers to his disciples in our gospel. We've been walking through the last few weeks, John chapter 6, which is also known as the Bread of Life discourse. Jesus has told the crowds and his disciples very clearly that he is the bread of life. He's the bread that came down from heaven, that his flesh is true bread and his blood is true drink, and that unless they eat his flesh and drink his blood, they will not have life within them. And many hear this, and they're scandalized by it. They're scandalized by this true declarative statement, so much so that they leave because they just think it's too hard, and they return to their former way of life and no longer accompany Jesus. Then after this happens, he turns to the 12 and asks, "Do you also want to leave?" And so too, we have a choice. Will we choose to serve the God of our fathers, culminating in Jesus, who is the bread of life? Or will we choose to serve other gods? We have a choice precisely because God gives us free will to make that choice. But the church declares boldly through the grace of the Holy Spirit who she is as the bride of Christ and holds these teachings to be true. And that doesn't change. But we have to decide whether we will accept them or not. It also reflects what St. Paul tells us in our second reading when he compares the life of marriage to the church, that husbands who are acting as the head of the household, not in a domineering or controlling kind of way, but with a servant-like attitude that leads the family to the correct direction, to listen to him. And that husbands and wives love each other and help each other for the good of the family, to lead the family towards higher things. And we also must be led to higher things. The church leads us to higher things. But we have to make the decision about who we're going to worship. And that's not a choice to be taken lightly. It can be easy to just say, "Well, Father, I'm here. You know, I come to Mass every week. You know, I went to Catholic school most of my life. That should be enough." And of course, that's good that you come to Mass and maybe you have done some of those other things. But we should try and set the bar just a little bit higher. We need to be intentional about the choice, about whether we are all in for Christ or not. Because being lukewarm doesn't really get us anywhere. In fact, Jesus speaks rather harshly in other places in the gospel about that. And part of it, what makes the decision hard, is it's a misunderstanding of who God is and worship. And so we all have a need for God in our souls. That's a desire that is on our heart. We have a desire for the infinite. We have a desire to belong to something greater than ourselves. We have a desire to find a universal explanation for all things in our life, to seek meaning in our life. And we have a desire to be saved by something. And what oftentimes will happen is we will worship whatever that thing is that we seek for to find answers to those things. And that can either be in God or in something else. And so we all need to examine, who are we serving? Because if we're not following Jesus and his church, intentionally, meaning we do more than just come to Sunday Mass, then we're often going to worship something else to fill that void. And so what might be some examples of things that might fill that void if we're not worshiping Christ? Well, we can just start with pagan idols or magic. We can ask the question, do we have occult objects or other religious items in our house that might not be Christian, like Hindu or Buddhist or Native American or African religious items that have a prominent place in our lives? Do we consult magical items like healing crystals or Ouija boards or tarot cards or just other things that try to harness the power of evil to be able to determine the future or to look at other things? Do we practice things like yoga, which a lot of people use for just stretching or breathing, but there's also religious connotations that are tied to it. And we might want to think about, are there other stretches that we can do that can give us the same benefit but don't have the same religious connotations? Moreover, do we rely on these things, this magical way of thinking, for aid in our lives? We have to be careful about what we're inviting into our lives. Another question to ask is, where do we place our trust exactly? Do we think that politics and political figures of this world will save us? Do we place those things above God? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't care about the political sphere or advocate for justice according to the teaching of the church. Of course, we should do that. But do we think that that is the cure for everything? Do we think that if we elect this politician or this political party has control, that that's going to save everything, that institutions ultimately have the power to save us? Do we place more of our trust in those things than we do in Jesus and his plan? Is our trust also in what I call the gurus of the internet? Do we turn to YouTube and podcasts and social media influencers or talk radio and television hosts to be able to seek guidance for things in our life? Again, they can proclaim truth and there can be good things that they have to say, but are we listening to them and what they have to say more than we're listening to the gospel? Are we allowing our anxieties, our worries, our fears, or just our general attitude of darkness and discouragement that can often overtake us to allow us to get sidetracked and not focus on God's providence? Are we listening to other voices that are not God? All of these things that I've mentioned have the power to consume us. The Eucharist is all about consumption. It's all about receiving the Lord and being conformed to him. And so we have to ask, are we being consumed by Christ or by other things? And not just these things, but we're only at Mass one hour out of the week if we just go on Sunday. Do we let other things throughout our life consume us? For example, do we focus more on our jobs, our activities that we might be involved in school, whatever those might be, following different sports teams that might have an importance to us? The allure of money and power, is that something that can take over our lives? Are we being consumed by that? Are we spending more time with those things and thinking about those things than we are praying or being with the Lord? Is God the center of our lives? Is he the center of our worship, or are these other things the center of our worship? Even church ministries can become all about this thing. For as good as church ministries can be and can do a lot of good, is it all about just accomplishing a particular goal? Or is it a sense of activism, just doing lots of different things rather than listening to the will of the Lord and seeing what the Lord is doing in that particular ministry? We have to ask that question. All of these things, they have the power to become our central focus of worship. They have the power to consume us more than the Eucharist. But a word of caution. We can't just use Christianity as another self-help remedy to solve our problems. We have to remember that all of this is a work of grace when we receive the sacraments. That's why Jesus tells them here that no one can come to him unless it is granted to him by his Father. The Eucharist is a gift, and it must be received. And so one of the things we have to be open to when we receive the Eucharist is the gift of faith. Now, we all have faith by virtue of our baptism, but the Eucharist allows for us to see things more with the eyes of faith. We have to see the Eucharist with the eyes of faith. And we need it, because it's hard. People walk away, just as they do in the gospel. They're not seeing Jesus with the eyes of faith. They're seeing it with the eyes of the world. So if that's the case, of course they're just going to walk away. They're not going to stay with our Lord. They're not being intentional about following the Lord. They're not seeing what demands, they're seeing the demands of that and deciding, I don't really want to follow that program. But if you think it's all about just choosing, which there is a choice involved, we will fail. Because the choice is not just a self-will, just deciding I'm going to follow Jesus, but it's about deciding I'm going to be docile. I'm going to be open to the Lord. I'm going to allow his will to take control of my life. I'm going to let him into things in my life. I want him to be the center and focus of my worship of my life. When we do that, when we make that decision to allow God's grace to enter into our life, we then move from an attitude of self-reliance and worshiping other gods to saying, just as Peter did, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.